version.
For tonight's conversion, we don't have a musician to plead their case for a niche genre of music. We have a comedian, even though he doesn't really like calling himself that. Jimmy Rees first captured hearts as Jimmy Giggle on ABC Kids' Giggle and Hoot, where he entertained a generation of families over a decade-long run. After saying goodbye to the pyjamas and his puppet pal Hoot, Jimmy reinvented himself as a viral comedy star. During the pandemic, his sharp, relatable humour resonated with millions of us. His sketches, including Meanwhile in Australia, The Brighton Ladies, The Guy Who Decides, I'm sure you've seen that one, turned him into a social media phenomenon, amassing over 4 million followers and hitting 1 million followers on Instagram last month. Oh my gosh. And hundreds of views across all of his platforms. Here's a sample of one of his sketches. It's from the Not-So-Emergency Department.
Welcome to the Not-So-Emergency Department. What's your not-so-emergency?
I think my eyesight's going. I haven't been seeing anyone for a while.
Right. Can you see me?
You're not my type.
I see. Standards are too high. Take a number.
Phone number?
No, a ticket. Take a ticket and then take the lift down.
To where?
To lower your standards. Next.
Right.
Hey, I've got 3 dates. They're all on the same day and I'm not sure about any of them.
Oh, you.
What a shame. Let me just get you in the system and I'll get a nurse to administer some sympathy. Oh, no, we're all out. What a shame.
Oh, no.
That's okay. Just go and sit down over there and I'll have someone come over and help you get over yourself. Cheers. Next.
So Jimmy Rees is about to move his screen content onto stages all over Australia as part of a new live tour called In Real Life. And he is on Nightlife tonight to convert us to 1980s hair metal. Jimmy Rees, g'day.
G'day, how are you?
I tell you what, I am ready to party because tonight you are converting us to 80s glam rock. Why have we picked this genre?
Guitar riffs. I love some guitar riffs. You know, I'm a fan of a ballad. I did musical theatre as well, but I do like rock music. The funniest thing about this is I feel like this was metal back in the day. You know, it was actually like glam metal. And to think that this genre was once called metal, now they call it just like sort of hair metal or whatever it was, but it was this like uprising of like this sort of super swagger. It just makes me laugh, really. And you can't, if you look at these things, you know, especially the images of these guys and these bands and the music clips, it's just hilarious. And I'm all about something that's funny. So, and I did pick up the guitar when I was a teen, and my uncle who was in the industry, like backline, you know, he was always at rock concerts and putting on, and you know, setting up all these rock bands and things. He gave me this guitar and an amp, and I was like, oh, I'm just learning. And he was like, you learn some of these riffs, they're fun. So, yeah, you know, kickstart my heart.
Yeah,
it's perfect.
Yeah.
It's the perfect way to start.
Here it is. Motley Crue, Kickstart My Heart, one of the song choices from our guest for our music conversion tonight on Nightlife, Jimmy Rees. Oh, Jimmy, it's got it all. The motorbike guitar riff, that's a riff
yes.
and a half.
I mean, that's the way to get your night started, isn't it?
Yeah, well.
Yeah, we converted already. We just needed Van Halen and we're done.
Need
Van Halen next is what I meant and we're done.
we do have that. I'm giving it away. But that song, you know, inspired by Nikki Sixx being revived after an OD.
I know. And you listen to some of Nikki Sixx's stuff later, and I think he wrote some memoirs or something. And that's wild. He's a wild man.
Well, you were talking about, you know, making light of life, and that's literally making light of life and death, you know?
seeing the light and then making some light of it.
How did your career get kickstarted?
I fell in love with performing at high school. I was always the idiot character in like plays and musicals at school, and I really enjoyed that. And then this audition came around at the ABC. Send in your videotape because we're starting some new channels, guys. And it was in kids TV. There was some sort of stuff for tweens, that tween age, and some preschool stuff. And it was, send in your video. We're doing this nationwide audition. Anyone can have a go. Go for it. They got 5,500 entrants. It seems like a long time ago, but it doesn't seem that long ago that you had to get a camera and burn it onto a DVD and send it in the mail to the ABC.
Gosh,
that's what you had to do. You know, I don't feel that old, but when I explain that, I feel old. My DVD, you know, audition reel got pulled out of that 5,000 by the casting director, and I was all of a sudden at the Sydney studios there at Ultimo talking, you know, reading a couple of scripts in this audition with these other guys and girls who'd come in with their own puppets. I'm like, where am I? What am I doing? A guy just had a sock. Another guy had his, like, this puppet that he'd built himself, which looked like kind of a Muppet thing. And there was another dude, I think, who just was like, had this full-on, like, Dalmatian dog thing. I'm like, this is so strange. What am I doing?
Your audition tape was originally for something else.
And they had probably 10 roles. Mine got sort of passed over because Giggle and Hoot were auditioning locally at the time. And, you know, they'd seen some people, but they were like, you've just seen 5,000 people. Can you send us a few that you think might, you know, translate to the preschool audience? And I was one of them.
Speaking of landing on a kids show, you're a dad yourself, three boys. Now, look, I have two myself, and we went to ED twice in the school holidays, one for a tick removal following an 8-hour solid tree climbing session, the other time for a radial fracture caused by the falling off of a giant gorilla sculpture at Taronga Zoo, five minutes after getting in the gate. How's the exuberance level at your place with your lot?
Visited the ED many times. The last time was actually just on this last weekend. I went. It was a trampoline incident. We have an in-ground trampoline, and it's very springy. And just in the last 7 days, the children have just gone absolutely turbo. They're doing flips. I've got twin 6-year-olds and a 10-year-old. The 10-year-old thought it would be fun to just try and launch himself over the twins who were standing on the grass next to it, but then kept getting further and further away. Like, I can jump over you, just go further down. And one of the twins is like, yeah, it'll be sweet. And he landed on him. And then this Mac, the twin who got landed on, he doesn't complain about anything. He's got a high pain threshold. So he was wincing. He was like, I can't breathe properly. So I went down to the ED. We waited about an hour, and then I went down. I was like, you know what? I think I've got to take him there. The doctor took one look at him and was like, get out of here. There's nothing wrong with him. In that 15 minutes it took me to drive him down there, typical kid, just sprung back. Nothing was an issue anymore. I was like, oh, this is so embarrassing. Well, I went there for nothing.
Springing into something new, and like, that's exactly what you've done. If we want to make a metaphor for your career, I suppose, you know, taking a leap like that on the trampoline, whether or not it works out, it's a bit like leaving a solid TV gig, you know, like Giggle and Hoot after 10 years to focus on developing your own creative voice. It might work out. It might not. but either way, you might as well jump, right?
We'll be right back.
Van Halen's Jump. I'm here with Jimmy Rees, comedian and online viral comedy content maker, who is about to jump into a tour this month, isn't it? This month, Jimmy?
Yeah, that's it. Start in Hobart and then go around the capital cities, except Darwin, but we might be going there next. So if anyone's listening in Darwin, please just relax. There's something coming soon. yeah, so it goes through November and a little bit of December as well. So it's coming up quickly.
Yeah, Hobart, Brisbane, Gold Coast, Adelaide, Perth, Melbourne, Canberra, Auckland and Sydney, and possibly Darwin. One night only per city. The tour is called Nine Date in Real Life. I have questions.
Yep.
What does that mean? It's my first one.
It's in real life. You know, I make Instagram Reels, which is spelt with the R-E-E-L, and that's all I thought about it. And it's me in real life, you know. A lot of people saw me on the TV as a kid, you know, when they were kids or whatever, and they used to come up to me when I was doing Giggle and Hoot, and they were, you know, this is kids, right? And they're like, oh, he's real. Oh, that thing that I watch that your mum and dad puts me in front of, it's not just a cartoon. You're not a cartoon. That's random. And now people are watching me on their phones and whatever, and now this is the real life. This is and also, you know, my content does center around like observations about people's lives. And, you know, I've got this character called The Guy Decides, right? It started with The Guy Decides packaging. The packaging that we, you know, see in the supermarkets all the time is just weird if you take a step back and someone had to decide how, you know, scissors are put in packaging that you need scissors to open. And the blueberries, strawberries and raspberries all have similar packaging, but one has a pillow, one doesn't. One's got some bubble wrap in there. One's bigger than the other. Strange. Like, why is the broccolini elastic band always purple? Someone's made these decisions, and that's the crux of The Guy Decides. But it's fun to play that character and just bring it to the stage. People have watched it, they've liked it online.
And I think because you cut your teeth as a drama kid, you know, you kind of know what you're getting into.
Yeah, for sure.
Rather than just purely an influencer who might not.
Yeah, and there's nothing like having an audience just there. And, you know, you might have planned these gags later and they just don't know what's coming. And then, you know, you can guide them off on one path and then something completely different happens. They're like, how did we not know you were going to do that or whatever, you know? So,
it's
fun and it takes on its own energy.
Well, yeah, wildly different to just simply having online content. Look, you and these 80s glam rockers, Jimmy, that you are converting us to tonight, you're a bit the same, you know, standing in the wings, an eager crowd waiting for you to step out and you're just thinking to yourself, here I go again.
White snake, yes.
That's right. White Snake, Here I Go Again, part of our 80s glam rock conversion with comedian Jimmy Rees tonight here on Nightlife. You are listening to Greta Lee Jackson. Jimmy, I have to ask, do you still back announce yourself or are those days over?
No, there's none of that.
Yeah, good. Yeah, yeah.
No. Yeah. You know these, you just reminded me of my first couple of days at Giggle and Hoot, which was I walked into the studio, right, and they used to – just how times have changed. They played the opening titles, which went for 1 minute. As we're waiting here for, you know, like the song to finish, and then you have to – you know, if you stumble over that, you would just start again. But back in the day, they were recording to tape. They would play the one-minute intro. I would say the first line to Hoot, who's sitting behind a couch, the puppeteer standing there with his script next to him. I come in, the whole crew's there. There's 35 people waiting. They roll the thing. They're committing it to tape. And then I'd come in and say the wrong thing, and they'd have to start the whole thing again.
Oh, no.
I don't know why I got a flashback then when you finish the song, and it's like, okay, okay, and we've just, this is a seamless transition. It just gave
here
me
I go again.
PTSD for it, this this time
right.
where I reckon 14 takes was the one. You know, every time you'd stumble over, it's like, oh no, we have to listen to those damn titles again.
And the poor puppeteer's on his knees, you know.
Yeah. So, yeah. The original puppeteer was about 6 foot five, I think. Yeah, not good for cramming himself under a desk or behind a couch.
Thanks for sharing that. You don't think of the pressure in that environment on you as the sole, you know,
human.
He's got
heavy scoliosis as well, the puppeteer as well, so he's all right now.
The human performer that, you know, they're all waiting for you to come and do your thing and everyone, yeah, thanks for sharing that one. Look, we've got a track by Alice Cooper to play mm-hmm. next. Does he really fit into the glam rock criteria, do you think?
Oh, look, I don't know. I think, you know, I've taken a bit of liberty here, which is like, it's a performance. It's this big, you know, glamorous, I mean, you know, they had this hair. Like, who's doing their hair? Like, are some of them wearing wigs? They've got, they're playing this persona, and the Prince of Darkness definitely did that as well.
The godfather of shock rock, Alice Cooper with Poison. Alice Cooper, Poison. I'm here with Jimmy Rees, comedian who's about to embark on his In Real Life tour. Jimmy, look, I'm having fun with this.
Oh, man. It just makes me laugh, you know?
Yeah.
Like, the lyrics are classic. It's funny. Yeah, it's too funny. You know, I think I liked that track because, you know, as a 15-year-old with an electric guitar and an amp and a distortion pedal, to just just inflict maximum annoying on the rest of my family, beaming out of my room. It's just, you know, it's a simple riff at the start. I think, like, anyone with an electric guitar falls upon these riffs in a lot of these songs. So.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Yeah.
I mean, just back to Alice Cooper for a second, yeah. Jimmy. Look, we know what he looks like, right?
Yeah.
Okay, and the look matches the majority of his songs.
Yeah.
But you know, whenever you see him speaking normally, he's actually got a really calming voice and benevolent presence, and it's a bit of a surprise, you know, like in Wayne's World, remember?
Yeah. In fact, isn't Milwaukee an Indian name?
Yes, Pete, it is. Actually, it's pronounced Miliwake, which is Algonquin for the good land.
I was not aware of that.
So it doesn't really fit, you know.
It doesn't really fit. You know what else doesn't fit? I think he's obsessed with golf. He loves golf.
He's chill.
He's just trying to just be good at golf. Mm. Imagine seeing him out on the golf course.
I know. But if we're talking about, you know, fitting descriptions, you've previously spoken about, you know, your struggle to accept being called a comedian.
You know, I think that traditional comedy, you know, if someone says thinks of a comedian, they might just think, okay, they've gone through comedy clubs. It's that person in a microphone. You know, they've bombed a million times and they're out and they're just chipping away. They're getting big. Maybe they're doing the comedy festivals and things like this. They're in the scene. You know, every comedian I meet and speak to, they know every other comedian. Now, I've made videos online. People have enjoyed them, and it's gone the other way around. You know, I still, when you say comedian, you asked me beforehand, do you want to introduce me as that? I have to accept that that's what people call me. And my manager actually is just like, I think it's time to change your thing on your Instagram. I'm like, I don't know. I make videos. They're funny. That's comedian, mate. I'm like, is it? I'm not sure. Because that image of a comedian to me is
doing the hard slog.
It's kind of stand up, you know. It's this. I mean, you can arrive at different things. You don't have to go through the hard slog or whatever, you know,
exactly,
whatever.
Exactly.
But yeah, that's why I feel a bit imposter syndrome. And you know, I've gone. You know, when I went out first a few years ago and did my show, my own show, it sold out incredibly, and it was absolutely amazing to have the support that I have had. I never thought that I would. You know, I started off with 15 shows or something, and that was all around the country. I ended up doing 39. It was
wow.
It was bizarre to me. So, you know, validating in a way, but also
validating,
just like,
yeah.
Yeah.
But I do have to ask, did some slogging comedians get cranky?
Well, I will say this. I was ordered, I got the Order of Australia, an OAM, last year.
Yes.
And then I got a bit of press after it because not, I don't think many comedians, you know, get it. Hamish Blake and I got it. You wouldn't say that he's a stand-up comic, though, would you? He's a comedian. Anyway, you know, there's been a few in the past. But I got a call from Hughesy's radio station. Anyway, they had me on, and I thought it was in bad spirits. He's like, don't you think other people should have got it first? And I was like, well, mate, you have to be nominated. And obviously you haven't been, and you haven't been accepted. So don't get cranky at me. It's not like I nominate myself. You just need there's almost 30 million people in this country. You just need one person to nominate you, Hughesy, and it obviously hasn't happened. So...
Do you know, there was, as comedian, I used to know who couldn't get on anywhere else, so he, like, opened his own club and headlined every night.
Oh, classic.
So that's one way to do it.
It is one way to do
you
it.
You know?
So, I mean, I think that, you know, the door's open. You just got to get online and you can test it out there.
Exactly. Look, we're going to play a couple of examples now of 80s glam rock bands who had big hits with ballads, because that's what we are doing this evening at Nightlife, as we are converting to 80s glam rock with comedian Jimmy Rees. So the first one we're going to play is Mr. Big.
The only Mr. Big song I'd ever heard was To Be With You, you know, which is this softly sung ballad.
Oh, there's no shredding.
And this Paul Gilbert is an exceptionally talented guitarist, and it's unbelievable how he plays guitar. And being someone who liked rock music and the guitar, I was like, oh my God, this guy's awesome. I'd watch so many videos and all this sort of stuff. But then I, you know, I was introduced to the rest of their music, which sounds nothing like this. There's shredding in it. It's like real guitar heavy. So I wanted you to play Addicted to the Rush, and then...
What, the song that everyone knows them for?
The massive hit that they had. I just think it's so funny, the contrast between...
Yeah, well, let's compare them. Okay, so this is Addicted to the Rush from Mr. Big. Yeah, right. Okay. That's a vibe. That's a vibe.
Oh,
and I'd never heard that song before, but here's the one that everyone knows them for, Mr. Big, To Be With You. Very different vibe there, Mr. Big.
Unbelievable.
To Be With You.
If you need an image, just check out the album cover of that single, To Be With You, with by Mr. Big. There is hair for days.
That's
it is unbelievable.
It doesn't quite fit the song. And same again with this one. I remember hearing that More Than Words was by a band called Extreme, but I'm like, it's not an Extreme song.
No, this is classic, because the rest of their music is just glam and leather and...
Like Play With Me by Extreme. Yep. Here we go. Okay,
kidding, are you? You're kidding.
I know, right?
That's like picks up my heart. That's
exactly.
That vibe.
It's got that. You know, that running sort of guitar, the screaming guitar in the background.
Yeah,
it's got the corny lyrics.
Yeah, it's like a playground metaphor. Do you want to play with?
I know.
Problematic as they all were. Those
they're
80s
all
glam rockers. But the one you wanted to play, you played it at your brother's wedding. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Yeah, he came to me with this crazy idea that he would sing one of the hardest, craziest songs to sing, you know, and surprised everyone at his wedding. And I said, sure. And so I learned how to play it on the guitar, and I learned some harmonies. So we had a couple of – I was living in Sydney at the time. We didn't get much rehearsal, and, you know, there was a couple of moments where it was a bit shaky, but we were both very nervous, but it came across really well, and it was very sweet.
Not many dry eyes, or what do you
mean? Yeah, it was very cute. Oh. It was nice. It went over well.
Well, here's the original then.
Yeah, we don't want our version. We want the original version.
Extreme, more than words. Bit of More Than Words there by Extreme. Sorry. Look, we're not going to get through them all, Jimmy, through your 80s glam rock conversion, but it is a good track, and that would have gone off at your brother's wedding, definitely. That would have been lovely.
It was nice. It was very sweet. No, it's good. But the contrast between some of these bands, yeah, they punch out these biggest hits of their career, probably, and then the rest of their music is fully glam.
Yeah.
Hair and thrashing the guitars.
I'm glad you included those. It's light and shade, isn't it?
It is. They're very talented people, really.
Giggle and Hoot, right?
Yep.
Given that it was the first big gig that put you on Aussie screens, and since then you've found success in, I guess, what would ultimately be adult sketch, if you want to put it way, format-wise, would you say that, you know, like those bands were reinventing themselves with the ballads, would you say reinvention also played a part in that transition and having that happen smoothly?
It was quite bizarre. Like, it was, you know, for all intents and purposes, you know, like, I was going to try and get another job doing something similar, maybe. That was the natural thing, was to try and find something, you know, that was, you know, maybe in kids, but maybe older kids, and then slowly sort of break the mold of being in kids' TV. But, I just picked up my phone. I was bored. It was lockdown in Victoria, and it was just get some stuff out there. I was always interested in the tech side of making content and TV and everything, and that's what I studied a little bit at uni, and it was all fun for me. And I did have this notes app, actually, which I just sort of write things down where, like, I could never do any of this as Jimmy Giggle still. So I'll save that for later. And the comedy was always the pipe dream, I think, you know. So this was just my chance to just do it. And I was absolutely gobsmacked with the response, really. I mean, you could say that the timing was probably perfect because people were on their phones consuming so much, and the rise of some people who would sort of made their name out of a time which was, you know, difficult for people, and where people were paying attention to every single thing that was going on in the world. I put it down to, like, I was commenting on these things which maybe we weren't supposed to comment or like make fun of. You know, it was a crazy time in the world. Everyone's watching the news, and I was just trying to be there to be like, okay, there's some funny things going on. The contrast is unbelievable. I remember I had a green screen. I put up my green screen and just pretended to be the Victorian Premier, who we'd watched every single day at 11 o'clock give these boring press conferences, but we wanted to know if we could do anything different every day.
Yes.
And he had this same monotone voice. He had the same things that he said every single day. The mannerisms were the same. He always asked if the media was ready before he went. Like, and so I just got into the minutiae of all that stuff that people had just, you know, just been absorbing without even knowing. And I put it up so it looked like it was going to be a live stream from like Channel 7 or whoever, or the ABC who was covering it. They all said, coming soon, it's streaming soon. And I just put it up like that. People thought it was the real thing. They knew, and then they knew it was a piss take. And then, you know, it got shared around like you wouldn't believe. So, yeah, it was just kind of those sort of moments. I was like, oh, okay, I can be a bit more adventurous here. Yeah, which was fun.
And it's interesting you mentioned timing, because that relates to this next track from The Darkness. Now, we are converting to 80s glam rock, but in terms of timing, I remember when this came out, some point in the late 80s. Now, I can't be specific because a lot of that time was one big uni piss up for me.
Yeah, that's true.
I did finish my degree, but it took me twice as long to do it. And this song, it was a big deal at the time because it was almost validating that millennial love of 80s glam rock that we're hearing tonight. It was that the Darkness were actively embracing the genre. How did you feel when you first heard it?
I thought it was, you know, I was attracted to these things which were a little bit funny. Like, it just had some sort of comedy to it. Like, if you look at Justin Hawkins, he's got these tattoos, flames coming out of his pants. Yeah. It's classic. It's so funny. And they were just seemed like it was a hark back and a homage to this kind of fun and silly. And the lyrics are so corny. I mean, I picked I Believe in a Thing Called Love is probably their biggest hit. I believe in a thing called love. Just listen to the rhythm of my heart. With a chance we can make it now. Let me look into the sun goes down. I believe in a thing called
love. Was The Darkness, I Believe in a Thing Called Love, part of our 80s glam conversion with Jimmy Rees, comedian who's about to start his In Real Life tour this month. Jimmy, you said you sang it at an end of year piss up yourself.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I did a parody version for my university concert called I Believe I Can Sing at the Pub.
That's good.
An iconic.
I believe I can sing at the pub.
Yeah,
that's so good.
Yeah.
Yep, it was
so
perfect.
It's an iconic song for us millennials, I think.
Love
that
it.
One. The Medal of the Order of Australia you mentioned earlier, and Hughesy giving you a hard time. Look, it was for your service to the arts as an entertainer. So can you tell me what the charity aspect of it is?
This is the thing. I'll never know who nominated what they wrote on the form, what they nominated for. You just don't know. I found out when everyone else found out that it just said you've been nominated for, you know, service to the arts and charity. And I'm like, okay, so the charity things that I've done before, there was many elements that we did with Giggle and Hoot, which was just sort of like going to hospitals and, you know, it's been the ABC. We're not making it. It's not a publicity thing that we were ever doing for that, which was rocking up at the Children's Hospital. We went to Bear Cottage, which is in Sydney as well, which is like a hospice for young kids and stuff, and just went there to be with them and bring the things they'd watched on the television to them. And then I had a deep connection with an organisation called Very Special Kids through my nephew who, you know, struggled with a lot of disabilities and ended up passing away a few years ago now. I guess there was a few things that I did for them and I don't know, just a collection of things. I always think I can do more. So I was surprised to see that on there as well, just a little bit, because I'm like, yeah, I do. I try and devote my time. There was lots of, even in recent years, if the Royal Children's Hospital has asked me to come there, I'll be like, yeah, I'm coming there. Yeah, absolutely. So I'll be there, and I've done a few things with the clown doctors and this and that. But But yeah, I think the person who maybe nominated me, I get all the time, you got me through COVID. That's the number one comment that people say about my comedy now is like, it was just a saving grace. We looked forward to your updates. We just wanted more from you, and you got us through it. You made light of a horrible situation or this crazy, weird, never knew what was happening once in a generation, probably a lifetime, you know, many generations problem that we had. So, I'm thinking that someone, you know, has nominated me for that, and maybe they, I don't know, have to write a few reasons or write an essay about it. I don't really know how the process works.
I think we're more or less converted, Jimmy.
I think we are.
We've had a great time here being converted to 80s glam rock with a little bit of ballads thrown in and a little bit of like what would you call it? Nouveau glam rock?
I guess so. Yeah.
And you're about to start your tour, Hobart first stop, and heading all around Australia for one night only for your In Real Life live show, taking your viral comedy works onto the live stage for your fans and anyone who wants to see what you do and how you do it. It's been a pleasure chatting with you, Jimmy.
It absolutely has, Greta. Thanks for having me.
That's all right. And look, before you go, you got everybody through COVID. You've done all this charity work. You've made kids, fans of Giggle and Hoot, smile for 10 years before you moved on to your own stuff. Then you've helped the adults through the hard times. I have to ask, is it a burden being so wonderful?
Oh, stop it, Steel Panther. They're a complete piss take of that whole era, which was just sex, drugs, rock and roll, and try and look beautiful and sing about love and heartbreak and weird stuff. So this is the burden of being wonderful.
Burden of being wonderful, and it's for you, Jimmy, for making a career out of piss taking yourself.
Woohoo! Thanks, Greta. Why in a world of ugly faces should I?
You've been listening to a Nightlife podcast. For more great conversations about the issues that impact you, as well as features on travel and food, head to the Nightlife webpage. You'll find it at abc.net.au/nightlife. You don't need to be a night owl to enjoy the nightlife.